Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 33rd episode of Quilt Cabana Corner. I'm Sandy Caldwell, and I hope that you can go grab your coffee or tea or water or whatever you prefer and join me for a little bit while we talk about all the fun quilting stuff that we like to talk about. So we also have non-quilting stuff to talk about, too, of course, because what would a podcast be without some of that, right? So it's almost Thanksgiving, and I am hosting Thanksgiving this year. We'll have 13 people. And actually, I think I've hosted Thanksgiving every year since we've lived in this house, except for one. So that would probably be, let's do the math here. 17 years of Thanksgivings, minus the one that my mom did when Leah was a baby. So we enjoy having Thanksgiving here. My husband loves it. He likes hanging out by the fireplace and watching the football games and not having to go anywhere. Last year, Amanda was in the marching band, so we got up on Thanksgiving and went to the football game, and my mom put the turkey in the oven because she usually comes down the day before to help me out. Thank you, Mom. And that was fun. This year, Amanda decided not to do the marching band. She's more into the jazz band this year, so we won't have to go out and watch the game, although it was kind of fun. Definitely kind of fun. So after that, we'll quickly be into Christmas and all the fun stuff that comes with that. So I was trying to get on this holiday grand plan bandwagon that Francis and Jenny are on, and I've done pretty well. I haven't gone into the deep cleaning to the extent that maybe Jenny has, but I've gotten quite a few things done. I took down all the curtains on my first floor and washed them and cleaned the windows a couple weeks ago. Cleaned out my deep freezers, got my turkey in there, made two kinds of cookie dough, made some chocolate chip pumpkin bread, so that's all in the freezer. Oh, what else? My pantry got cleaned out, my spice cabinet got cleaned out. I know there's more, because it feels like I've been doing something, like, every day. My dining room is slowly but surely being cleaned out. That's the catch-all room. Oh my gosh, we've got a drum, a piano, the flute, all the sheet music, a couple sewing machines. So much stuff in there that has to be cleaned out, because that is where we're going to have our meal. Well, I should say the adults, anyway. The kids will have their own table. And it sounds funny to even say kids, because one's in college, one's getting ready to go to college. So the cousin's kids' table is getting older, which is awesome to see. And trying to think what else I did for my holiday grand plan stuff. I know, my kitchen counter. I started rearranging that, putting appliances that I'm not really using into the kitchen island. My playroom is clean. That's where the kids will go on Thanksgiving and probably Christmas Eve or something. Play Wii and do what they want to do. So things are coming along, I'm happy to say. And Leah has half days today, so she's going to help me clean the silver for the big turkey meal. That's her thing that she usually does to help me for Thanksgiving. Giving every year, she likes to clean the silverware with the silver polish, so that'll be her job. And other than that, really just been, life's been just plugging along. We've been busy, all kinds of kids' activities and stuff. So I was hoping to get my postcard for the postcard swap done early in the month, and I finished yesterday, and I love it, and I hate to mail it. I want to keep it, but I'm not going to. I'm going to mail it out to my fabulous swap partner. So I did finish that yesterday, and then the first week of December, I will get that in the mail. So how are you all doing on the postcard swap? I mailed out all the swap partners' names and addresses. Everybody should have that now and should be working on their postcard. And then the first week of December, you can pop that in the mail to your swap partner, and you can then, once you hear that they've received it, take a photo of it and put it in the Flickr group that I created. The Flickr group name is Fabric Postcard Swap 2013. And I see that we have two members, myself and Sandy, from Quilting for the Rest of Us. So pop your photos in there so that we all can enjoy enjoy them. So in addition to the postcard, I've also been working on Leah's turtle quilt, which was a reverse applique quilt kit that I picked up at the quilt shop in Maui when I was there in August. And like I said, it's a reverse applique, which I've never done. It's about 24 by 36, and when I purchased it, I guess I didn't pay attention to the size of it, because I was thinking it was going to be, you know, a little bigger than a lap quilt, or at least lap quilt size, and this is really wall hanging size. So when I asked Leah what she wanted me to do, do you want to keep it as a wall hanging? Do you want me to add some borders and make it bigger? She said, yes, could I make it, you know, a little bigger? So I did go and get some, like a kind of a hot pink batik, and then another blue batik. Most of the quilt is blue and green. And it has been a really interesting process for me. I've never done reverse applique before. So when I opened the package, there was this huge pattern sheet, and you were to either put that on like your sliding glass door or a window to use it as a light box, because the smaller light boxes just aren't big enough to trace something like this. So I put that pattern sheet on my window, taped it up there, and then I took the fabric that would be on the top. There's two fabrics. There's the bottom background one that's blue, and then there's the green one, which is actually really the applique pattern, and you end up cutting out sections of that top one to reveal the blue background underneath, and you fuse them together, and then you go about, you know, however you want to finish the uncut edges with satin stitch or blanket stitch or what have you. So on the window, I had the pattern sheet, and then I had the green fabric, and then I used water-soluble pencil, a pink one, to do the tracing, and it wasn't bad. I think most of the problem is that the window I chose is south-facing, and it was the middle of the day, and the sun was just beating so hard through the window, so the part of the window that wasn't covered was almost just giving me a headache from too much sun coming in, but I persevered, and I got it done, and then I was like, oh god, now what? So I laid that whole green fabric on top of the blue fabric, and well, first I had put fusible on the back of the green, because you have to fuse those two layers together, but you don't fuse them until after you've actually done the cutting. So you layer that together, you pin it, and then you take your little applique scissors and you cut out all the sections around the design. And that took some time, I will say. If you think about a turtle quilt and a turtle shell and all the little, I'll say like hexagon type shapes that are on the turtle's back, having to cut out in between each and every one of those on about six turtles, that took some time. It was hard on the back, too. I had it on my cutting table, which is waist height or whatever the height is, 36 inches or something, so that you shouldn't really be hunching over it. Of course, I hunch anyway all the time, 24/7, but it still was a lot of hunching, and you had to stand up to really feel like you had control over the cutting. You couldn't sit down and cut this. Plus, it was too big. So that part is done, and then I fused it, and now I'm on to the part where I am stitching around all the cut edges. That is taking a little bit of time, but I'm enjoying it because I'm listening to podcasts while I'm doing it, and it's a little bit mindless, and I like that for this time of year. So while I'm working on that, I was thinking, oh, I don't really know what kind of thread or what colors. And a whole conversation came up in Twitter about the Isochord polyester embroidery thread that Lori and Kati have used. So today, after I'm done recording this, I'm going to go order one spool of that. It's like a 40-weight, I think it's 40-weight, embroidery thread, and they said that they've used it for free motion quilting, and it has a nice sheen to it. So I'm going to order a spool, try it out, $3.95 a spool, and I think it's free shipping. And that's at Discount Embroidery Supply. So I'll look forward to testing that out and seeing how it is and see if it's something I want to add to my thread collection, which would be great. So thank you, ladies, for turning me on to that. So once I have that done, I will be adding the borders, the additional borders. and then layering, basting, and quilting. So that hopefully will be my project to get me through the holidays. Nothing too intense, so that'll be good. The other news really is the 100 blocks. I'm hoping you all had a chance to come by the blog tour for that. It's always a lot of fun to be included in that with Quilt Maker. I had, 230 something comments left on the blog that day from people who were checking it out. And it's amazing to me all the different stories that came through those comments regarding the ukulele. And it was really heartwarming to hear some of them. So many people were inspired to pick up an instrument or pull out their dulcimer, which I thought of you, Jackie, when someone said they were going to pull out their dulcimer and get back to it and try it, and just to do it for the love of doing it, just to do it for fun. So when I made that ukulele block, I had already taken up the ukulele somewhat. I haven't been practicing a lot lately, but I'm going to get back into that. And I didn't really know how popular the block would be, and it ended up on the cover. And it was so amazing just to hear all the different stories. It was bringing people back memories of their trips to Hawaii. And, you know, someone said, oh, my pop used to play, you know, such and such a thing, and thank you so much for the memory. So I was glad to provide that for people. That really makes my heart sing. So anyway, that was fun. And I did have two winners for the copies. One was Linda from Georgia. She won a copy. And the other one was Karen, and I believe she is from Manitoba, and she also won a copy of the magazine. So thanks for participating and letting me know how you liked the ukulele block and what you might do with it. I even heard from one man who said that if he won the magazine issue, he was going to give it to his wife, and he was going to ask her to make him a ukulele pillow. And that actually was something that came across a lot in the comments. A lot of people were planning on making pillows out of that block. So you could really do whatever you wanted. And when I was when I was writing that blog post, I did not know the name of the person who had hand-dyed the fabric that I used as the background. And it's a beautiful piece. It was given to me by my mother, and she had purchased it at our Quilt Guild's holiday boutique last year. So that person has since gotten in touch with me, and I'm so excited. Her name is Louise Cohen, and I was kind of waiting to hear from her to see if she had a website or something so I could share it with you all, but I haven't heard back. But she wanted to let me know that she saw it. She was thrilled that that was her fabric, and et cetera, et cetera. So another great connection made there. Trying to think. Other than that, I'm still working on a few designs that I've sent off, and speaking of that, I wanted to tell you all, if you're an aspiring quilt designer, in the Fawns and Porters Love of Quilting, in the back, page 100, they are looking for quilt designers. They're looking for people, just like you and me, to send their ideas in for their magazine. I want to say they pay about $200, maybe, last time I checked into them. I haven't had anything published with them. I've gone through other magazines, but I might design something with them in mind. And if you are looking for their submission guidelines, more detail, go to fawnsandporter.com/submissions. And they will take digital submissions. It says it can be a detailed drawing or a printout from EQ or another drawing program. So go there and read the submission guidelines and look at the quilts that you've designed on your own. Can't be a kit, can't be someone else's pattern. Has to be something that you've designed on your own. And give it a shot. You just never know. Never, never know. You could have your quilt on the cover of their magazine. So do it. Urging you, do it. All right. So I also signed up for... I'm just kind of rambling on and on here. I have so much to talk about today. So as you all know, I love scrapbooking. I am heavy into this Project Life scrapbooking system, where it's a binder and pages where you slip in your photo and a journaling card. The journaling cards are all pre-designed, and everything coordinates. Your binder coordinates with your journaling cards. So really, to record your family's memories, you just need the binder, a big package of the pages, your photos, the journaling cards, and a pen. And I'm on my third album of doing Project Life, and this is all through Becky Higgins, who used to work for Creating Keepsakes magazine. And at the time when scrapbooking was really getting into a lot of embellishments, you know, a lot of different papers. Just think of quilting and equate that to scrapbooking. More stuff, more notions, more things to buy, more things to really gussy up your pages, which is terrific, terrific. It makes for great layouts. But it can be overwhelming because you feel like it's literally going to take you a year to complete an album. So Becky devised this system to make it all much more streamlined and just much simpler. You know, the pages are not as beautiful as, you know, your really detailed scrapbook pages that you might be used to making, but at least you're getting it done. And there is a time and a place for the fancier scrapbooks, like to make as a gift for someone. But in terms of like your everyday things and what you're doing, if you're a person who enjoys photographs and recording your history, this is such a great way to do it. So she's offering a 12-week class that my friend Tina is taking, and she's, oh, take it with me. She took it last year. She loved it. So this year they've revamped it some, and I did sign up. It's $99 for the 12 weeks, and I'm pulling it up on my computer, and it's called Project Real Life with Becky Higgins, and Becky's tagline is cultivate a good life and record it. That's what she's all about. I'm just going to read you the description in case you're interested in taking it. It says, this idea is at the heart of everything Becky Higgins does with her blog, her products, and in her real life. Come and join her for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to spend some time with her during the last quarter of 2012. As Becky goes about preparing for the holidays, organizing around her home, and documenting her family's story along the way, she'll be sharing ideas to inspire you, tips to motivate you, and real-life suggestions on how to cultivate the life you want. Whether you're a longtime Project Lifer or you're just now hearing about Project Life, you will love learning about the guilt-free philosophy behind this system of memory keeping. While Becky will give you plenty to think about and do during the 12 weeks of this workshop, she has no intentions of overwhelming you. This is based on her belief that there isn't a person that exists who really does it all, and this should be the last thing that we expect from ourselves. So it's going to have like live chats. You get a special set of journaling cards, access to like a pre-classroom with a presentation from Becky, handouts, step-by-step instructions for each lesson or project, voice messages, slideshows, videos throughout the class, welcome notes from Becky, reminder emails when the classroom's updated with new materials, message boards, and a private posting gallery to share your work. So to me, this is like a live your best life kind of a class. Her home is beautiful. She shares images of her home on her blog all the time. She's very organized. She's one of those people, kind of like an Oprah. You like see what she does, or you know, maybe in something that she has that she's sharing with you, and immediately you're like, I want to do that. I want to be that. So this should be very interesting, and I'll share information about it as I go along and take the class with my friend Tina. So I'm very excited about that. And I'm just kind of looking at my desk. I've got different things here. One is, if you want to hop on over and mind thought to recipes for a minute. Last night was Leah's parent-teacher conference, and the Scholastic Book Fair was in the library. So we stopped by, and I was like the adult table with the cookbooks. And sitting on the table was something called Fix It and Enjoy It. 5-Ingredient Recipes by Phyllis Pellman Good. So this book has 787 recipes. Now, there are no photos, which is a little bit of a pet peeve of mine with cookbooks, but I'm going to forgive this one because it's so dang good. So when you open the cookbook, there's 6 recipes on each page, and everything from appetizers to soups to drinks, and it's all just 5 ingredients. And they're not 5 weird ingredients. They're like 5 ingredients you probably have sitting around or could get very easily at the grocery store. And a lot of, like, I'll say my dips and things that I'm famous for, buffalo chicken dip and my artichoke spinach dip, they're all in here. So it feels like it's all my kind of food. And I'm super excited to try it out. And I'm going to try something for Thanksgiving because I'm really looking for another vegetable dish to go with my meal. Something different. Something we haven't had before. And I'm going to choose something from here. So this woman has tons of these Fix It and Enjoy It books. She's got a diabetic one, a healthy one, light recipes, recipes for entertaining. Not all of them are five ingredients, by the way, but she does have a five ingredient slow cooker one, so I might think about getting that too. So anyways, I'm dying to try that, and I will let you know how it is. I'm going to take a break just for 1 second to consult my list and see what else I wanted to talk to you about before I forget. Okay, I'm back. One thing that I wanted to discuss was somewhere I read, and I can't remember where I read, but it was talking about when you give a quilt as a gift. And I will be gifting a quilt this Christmas. I'm not going to say to who, because they might be listening. Probably not, but I'll play it safe anyway. But the suggestion was that when you give a quilt that you've put so much time and effort into, and we all know that you have, but the fact is, your gift recipient might not know how much time and effort went into it, particularly if they are not a quilter. So the person was suggesting that when you give the quilt, include a little note that talks about the quilt. Involve your recipient in the quilt making process. Maybe give them a little list of questions like, which block do you think was my favorite to make? Or which color is your favorite one in this quilt? And then supply what you thought. Tell the person what your favorite block was, or maybe how you came to realize that this quilt was meant for this person. Because that's what happened to me. I bought this fabric to make a quilt for something else. And the more I worked with it, and the more the fabric colors and choices came alive to me, it just became very apparent that this particular quilt was for this person. Because they're definitely this person's colors and color schemes. So, you know, aside from the usual stuff about how to launder the quilt, you know, all that kind of boring stuff, maybe interact with the person a little bit or explain how you found the pattern. Just give them a chance to ask you about the quilt based on what you've written. And let them know how much thought about them was happening at the time that you were making it. So I liked that idea, and I'm definitely going to do that. Because there's nothing worse than making something homemade and being so excited to give it to someone, and they're not a crafty person, and they open it, and they're like, oh, that's great, thanks, and it just gets pushed aside, and there goes all your hopes and dreams out with the wrapping paper. So don't let it happen. Involve them. Make it known. Share that part of your life with them. I think that they'll be appreciative. I really do. Okay, also, more talk about sharing things with people. Comfort bear update. The girls and I made a whole bunch of comfort bears last spring and into the summer. We gave them to the police station in our town. The police station put 2 comfort bears that were all bagged up in plastic bags with a little ribbon, 2 per cruiser. And then every few months I would check in with one of the police officers who happens to live on my street. How are you doing? Do you need more comfort bears? So the initial delivery we gave them was 14. And recently I was just asked for 10 more. So I had them all made. I had another 14 sitting there ready to go. Because you know me, I like to have it all done early. So I knew it would be several months. Our town is small. It's not really a high crime area. I knew it would take a while, and thankfully, for them to get through that many teddy bears. So we will get together. I'll get together with the girls after Christmas, and we'll replenish our stock back up to 14. I was also thinking about maybe asking the fire department if they would like any. One of the members of the fire department attends our church, so I might be able to give them to him and see what he thinks. But Lindsay and Leah and even Amanda helped make those, and we felt good about making them. It was simple. It was a chance for them to sew. It was a chance for us to do something together for someone else. So that police officer's daughter who lives on my street we actually ended up giving one to them. They have four kids, the youngest who's a junior in high school. But their daughter, who is in college, is in her last year, and she was diagnosed with leukemia in the spring. So it's been a long, long, long road for them over the last 6 months with the chemotherapy treatments and all of that. So we were able to bring, her name is Jen, and we were able to bring Jen a gift that included a comfort bear. So she was happy to get one too. So that's the comfort bear update. Okay, let's talk about what I'm reading. I just finished reading Defending Jacob, which was an older book. I think it's William Landy, or, oh, wait, I have it right here. William Landy, Defending Jacob, takes place in, it's fiction, but it takes place in Newton, Massachusetts, which is the town next to Watertown where I grew up. And this book was one that we talked about reading when our book club began 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, and we never got around to it. So this time we did. This book is so intense. It's a real page-turner, and it's fantastic. And the back of it says, Andy Barber has been an assistant district attorney for 2 decades. He is respected, admired in the courtroom, happy at home with the loves of his life, his wife Lori, and his teenage son Jacob. Then Andy's quiet suburb is stunned by a shocking crime. A young boy stabbed to death in a leafy park. And an even greater shock, the accused is Andy's own son, shy, awkward, mysterious Jacob. Andy believes in Jacob's innocence, any parent would. But the pressure mounts, damning evidence, doubt, a faltering marriage, the neighbor's contempt, a murder trial that threatens to obliterate Andy's family. It is the ultimate test for any parent. How far would you go to protect your child? It's a test of devotion, a test of how well a parent can know a child. For Andy Barber, a man with an iron will and a dark secret, it's a test of guilt and innocence in the deepest sense. How far would you go? Page turner, gripping, can't recommend it enough. It was so good. And it's a quick read because once you pick it up, you will not put it down. I also just finished reading The Unlikely Pilgrimage of Harold Fry, which was about a man who retired and it takes place in England. And he lives with his wife, and their marriage is not at the greatest point. It's deteriorating some. They're sleeping in separate bedrooms. They're just growing apart from each other. And he receives a note in the mail from someone who he worked with many years ago. And after that person left the company, he had never seen her again. Her name was Queenie. And Queenie writes to tell him that she's actually dying of cancer. She's in hospice care. And she just wants to thank him for being a friend and to say goodbye. So he's stunned when he gets this because he hasn't talked to her in, you know, a number of years. And he decides he's going to write her a letter back. Well, when he goes to write the letter, he realizes that there's just kind of no words. So, he writes out something very short, sweet, whatever, and goes out to the mailbox to mail it. And when he gets outside, he just has this feeling like, oh, I think I'm going to go for a walk. I'll mail this at the post office down the street. So he goes a little further, and then he passes the post office, and then he keeps walking and walking and walking. Now, he's left his house without water, without sunscreen, without his cell phone, and in his yachting shoes, as they call it, and I think a very light jacket. He is not prepared in any way to make this journey all the way to where Queenie lies in hospice care, which is some, I don't know, let's say 600 miles or something. So this book is about his journey as he walks, and he gets it in his mind that as long as he's walking, Queenie will stay alive. Queenie will stay alive until he gets there. And he borrows a phone, and he calls the hospital, and he tells them, I'm coming, I'm walking, tell Queenie she has to live because I'm coming. And it's not that he's romantically involved with her or ever was. He just feels this pull that this is something he has to do. So he walks and walks and walks, and along his journey, he stays at different people's houses, and at one point, some more people join him on the walk, and as he's walking, he's flashing back to his life and his son, who's, they've had problems with the son. And it's all just very interesting. it's not a page turner like Defending Jacob, like, oh my god, what's happening? It's just a nice story, really, about discovery of yourself, I guess. It's really good. It's definitely worth a read. I enjoyed it very much. Our next book club coming up is December 4th. And I think that based on Tanisha's last podcast, I'm going to recommend The Rosie Project. That looks really good. So we'll see how that goes. If my group doesn't pick that one, I'll probably just read it on my own because it looks really good. In terms of quilt-related books, I was reviewing two books for Allison over at C&T Publishing. Actually, I should say a book and a product. The product that I reviewed for her recently was the Wash Away Stabilizer. And I wrote a lengthy review of that in my blog, so you can get the full review there. But I will say, it was an interesting product. It was a nice roll of, it's like a stabilizer. I'll read you a little bit of my review. It comes in a 14 by 10 yard roll. It also comes in sheets, by the way, that will go through your printer. And there's plenty on the roll to last a long time. And what you're supposed to do is create shapes, applique shapes, by printing on the applique paper using your inkjet printer or by tracing. You can trim, position, infuse the design on the fabric right where you want to sew through it. It's used in place of freezer paper, but it washes out, leaving a nice crisp edge to your applique. You can then finish the edges with any type of stitching you prefer. I prefer blanket stitch, but we all know that already. So it's soft and papery. It was transparent enough that I could trace with it, and any ink that you use on it washes out with the stabilizer. And it's biodegradable, so that's always good, right, guys? And other uses for it, besides your needle turn and your machine applique, you could use it for foundation piecing. You wouldn't need to remove your paper. English paper piecing, you wouldn't need to baste because you could just, you know, iron it. So this is like fusible on one side. You can use it for stitch and flip designs, crazy quilt designs, string piecing, stabilizing or thread work or bobbin work, and also it says for making buttonholes. So I'll just read directly here from my blog for a minute. I said in my review, so are you wondering how I used it? I had to really think for a minute before I began when I realized that this was not double-sided fusible. I typically use ThermaWeb heap-on light. I've been using that since the beginning of my quilting time. So when I got this, I was like, oh, it's not double-sided. So I had to think a minute, but it turned out it really wasn't a problem at all. I used it on the wrong side of my fabric, and then I used my Sizzix die-cut machine to cut out a pie and cherry shapes, and I made two little potholders out of it. Applique shapes, they had a nice sturdy feel to them from the stabilizer, so when I went to go do the blanket stitch, it was very easy and everything looked very crisp. It was nice. And then when I was all done, I washed it out. I put the potholders in the washing machine with a small amount of laundry soap. I washed them in cold water, and then I read the directions and saw that I should have washed them in warm water. Because when they came out, you could barely feel the stabilizer there, but I think had I washed it in warm, you wouldn't have felt it at all. But, I mean, I could feel it so little that it really doesn't even matter. I mean, you'd have to be really, like, a crazy person if you didn't want to feel any of this at all in there with a potholder. You know what I mean? It's a potholder. So, anyways, it was definitely a nice product. Like I said, it's a very clean, crisp edge to them, so I think if you were doing needle turn applique with this, this would be so great. And for the English paper piecing, which I'm going to try it with, because now I have this nice roll, so I'm going to use it. And on my blog, you can see the little potholders I made. And just to note that it can be cut with scissors or a rotary cutter. And the directions say you can cut up to 6 layers at a time. So that's pretty good. You can find it at C&T Publishing and on Amazon. Retails for $24.95. So I think it has a lot of potential for people who love the look of applique and want a crisp edge but don't want the stiffness that comes with other products. So I think it was a great product, and I'm glad that Allison sent that to me to try out. The other thing that the other book that she sent to me was The Forest Fairy Crafts, and I noticed today on Pam's blog from Hip to Be a Square, she reviewed that book as well. Leah and I spent Saturday morning making fairies out of this book. And I haven't written my review yet, so I'm going to wait till the next podcast to tell you more about it. But you will be able to read about it on my blog. And I will just give you the heads up that it's a really lovely book. Really lovely, very fun. I did a little interview with Leah as we were making the fairies, so you can look forward to seeing in the blog what she had to say about it. So, and she's 11. And I think this book, probably the top age for this book, would probably be 11. Because Lindsay's 13 and she didn't really have a desire to do anything with it. Although she did come by and look a couple of times and say, those are really cute. So, I don't know, I guess 13's maybe a little too old for that. So, but the younger set, I mean, younger than Leah, fantastic. And I'm hoping that when her little friends come this summer, we can make some of those, or over Christmas vacation or February vacation. So that's it for the review portion of my podcast today. And let's see, I think we've actually almost hit on all of the things that I wanted to talk to you about. I will tell you, I am still doing the Fitbit, but it won't post to Twitter for some reason, which is probably good because it's the same 4,000 or 5,000 steps that I'm doing every day that you would be seeing, nothing exciting. I'm not committed to it. I don't know why. I did the Weight Watchers Points Plus with my mom, and I lost 6 pounds in the first 3 weeks, and now I've gained back 3 of it because I stopped writing down my points. I don't know why I do this. This is me. This is what I do. All gung-ho, and then back off of it. And actually, I think part of the problem for me, because I'm home during the day, is if I don't plan out what I'm having for lunch, it goes downhill. If I don't get up in the morning and make the tuna salad or make the chicken salad or know that I'm going to have such and such a thing for lunch, I blow my whole day right about that point in time. Oh, well, I'm going to be out. I'll just stop at McDonald's or the sub shop. Or Greg stayed home yesterday with me. He worked from home and was like, oh, well, let's get subs or something. So if I blow lunch, I blow the whole day. In the morning, I've been having the Quaker Oats oatmeal that just goes in the microwave. And I think it's the weight control one. And it's only 4 points. 4 points. And it fills me up all the way into lunch, which, like, never happens. And I'm a person who, if I don't eat enough at breakfast, around 10:30, I'm so nauseous. I get so nauseous when I'm hungry. So if I can stick to that and then make the stuff for lunch, I would be fine. But I've just let it go, so I don't know. I'm going to blame it on the grand plan. I want to say I've been so busy cleaning that I've just been eating, which is really a terrible lie, but I got to blame someone. Oh, no, I'll blame myself. So today I got up and I made the chicken salad. So I'm hoping to stay on my plan because Weight Watchers Points Plus is so easy. You can even go out to eat. That's my other problem. When I go out to eat, even if I don't know the points that I'm eating, which you can pretty much look them up online and find out, oh, you're eating at Olive Garden and this is so many points or whatever. So if I'm eating somewhere where I don't know the points, I need to just give it a best guess. I need to. Because once I lose track of those extra points, typically I weigh in on Friday and then we go out to eat Saturday. So if I'm not controlling what I've eaten for those extra points by at least giving my best estimate, I screw it up for the whole rest of the week. So, and I really do need to do some exercise, but it's cold out and I hate my treadmill. So I know Daisy got the recumbent bike. I just don't really have a spot to put one of those. So, I don't know. I got to get back with it. I will. I'll do it. Because when I went for my physical, I was down 4 pounds. And the doctor said, was that on purpose? And I said, oh, yes, it's very much on purpose. I'm doing this plan. And she said, oh, that plan's so great. And, yes, stick with it and make time for yourself for the walk and stuff like that. Well, after I left the doctor's office, I had a flu shot that day, too. It was the start of my 10-day migraine about a month ago. And I still managed to stay on the diet, and then my friend kept saying, maybe your headache's because of the diet. Maybe your body's just craving all those yummy carbohydrates, and, you know, it's just such a change for it, or whatever. So, I don't know. I don't know. I just know that I need to get back on it, especially with the holidays here, because you can eat what you want. You really can. You just need to count the points or make up the points on your best guess. So, I will get back to it. My mother's doing it with me. I think she's in the same downfall I am. We're starting to treat ourselves too well now. So, we need to get back on it. Right, Grammy Judy? Get back on it. And I will too. So that's the diet and the exercise and the whole Fitbit stuff. And I'm really so envious of everyone who's at like 10,000 steps a day. I don't know how you do it. I really don't. But what I do well with is the stairs and the steps. I climb a lot of steps a day, like 20-ish a day. Up and down, up and down, up and down. So, I mean, that's all good for me. Okay, so don't forget about your postcards. And I hope that you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving. I know our Canadian friends had their Thanksgiving recently, so now it's time for us to have ours. And I think that's it for me. Oh, I should mention, my mother and I went to the Quilters Gathering quilt show in New Hampshire, which is a lovely quilt show. I posted a few pictures last week on the blog. I have more to post. I'll try to post a few more today, too. But it's in Manchester, New Hampshire, which is about probably 2 hours for me, an hour for my mom. I picked her up, and we headed up there. I didn't have any kids with me this time, which last year Lindsay came with us, and she picked out all the fabric for her purple, green, and yellow batik quilt, which I did make. I made it on my Featherweight sewing machine. It was the first quilt that I pieced on that. But this time she wasn't interested, and they had music rehearsals and drama rehearsals and whatnot anyway. So we were able to go through the show, take our time, read all the little information cards that we wanted to. When we sat down for lunch, they offer a nice lunch there. It's at a Radisson Hotel. And they have soups and salads and sandwiches. The only problem is that there's never enough seating for everyone in their little restaurant area. But two people from our quilt guild flagged us over and had two seats available. So we sat with them, and that was Barbara and her friend Diana. And as it turns out, Diana is ended up purchasing my spot for the Joe Diggs workshop that's coming up in January. My mother and I both signed up for that last year. Joe Diggs became ill with cancer, I believe, and had to cancel that workshop. So this year, she's coming to the guild again. We signed up. We got in. And then I found out that Lindsay was cast as the Beast in Beauty and the Beast through her music school that weekend. So I just absolutely cannot miss that. So Diana's going to purchase my seat, which is great because then I won't be out any money and Diana will get to go and my mother will get to go. And I'm sure that they'll share with me all the wonderful things that they learn. So that was that. And then after the show, we went and did the vendors. And there were a lot of vendors. Got in there and it's just like, oh my gosh, there's so many. But it was good. I got some nice things. I got some landscape fabrics and, a Zentangle, two Zentangle books. Now, last year when we went and I looked at the Zentangle stuff, as I mentioned, Lindsay was there and she was a little impatient when it came time for Mom to look at stuff. So that Zentangle stuff, there's so many books and so many pens and, you know, so many different things that go with it, which you wouldn't think, but there are. You need time to read the back of each book and pick out which one you think is great or that's going to apply to what you want to do. Because I bought the basic book to learn how to do the basic Zentangles, and then I bought the workbook where you transfer those to a quilt, which Carol Landscape Lady made a fabulous one and had a photo up of it on Twitter recently, so check that out. Had a guitar in it. Really cool. Really cool stuff. So I have made a couple of Zentangles, and they came out pretty good, but I'm not at the point where I'm ready to transfer it onto the fabric yet. And I did buy fabric there. Excuse me. They had a nice, I don't know. I forget what the name of it was, but it was just a nice cotton that looks like it will take the permanent marker very well. What I'm on the lookout for, though, is for shading in some of the bigger areas. They want you to get a Micron graphic pen, and I've not been able to find one of those yet. I should have bought it there because they had them, but I was kind of ka-ching, ka-ching, adding up with my purchases, which I intended all this stuff to be for Christmas, to me from Greg, and then, well, I wanted to use it, so it's no longer a Christmas gift. So I will do some more, maybe over Christmas vacation. It's kind of a fun no-brainer activity, but I'm finding lately when I should be doing a no-brainer handcrafting thing, like a sashiko or something, I'm really picking up my Kindle instead and reading, or looking through magazines, so I need to get myself back into it. Anyway, so we're going on 45 minutes, which is kind of long for a Quilt Cabana episode. So I will sign off. Again, have a very happy Thanksgiving. I will try to podcast again before Christmas, where we can talk about the results of all of our wonderful postcards and such. Continue to visit the blog. Leave me a rating on iTunes. Leave everyone who podcasts a rating on iTunes. I know all the podcasters keep saying this, but it is. It's like a little pat on the back for a job well done. So, and I need to bump my podcast up some. I think I only have 20 ratings. And I know there's more than 20 of you out there listening. I know this. So hop on, give me a star, or write something. I'd love to hear from you. And that is it. So I will talk to you soon. Happy quilting. Bye-bye. Okay, here's my PS for this podcast. I just went to go order my Isochord thread. And FYI, at Discount Embroidery Supplies, you must have $25 worth of items in your cart in order to check out. So, just a little note for ya.